In today's podcast is brought to you by Hurricane Hoedown on April 27th.
There we go. Look at that little promo right there, huh?
That's Radio S voice right there, son.
That's Chris Hood right there,
huh? We will win Price Wars. If you haven't seen the Chris Hood Billy Navarre commercial, you need
it's
to look it up.
It's worth a watch.
It's worth a watch. It's worth a watch. But no, if you have not signed up for the Hurricane Hoedown Throwdown, this will be our third annual one this year. I think right now we have 14 or 15 teams signed up. So it's like 30 people, roughly. I think a good goal for our gym would be like 20 teams. It's 40 people. Scaled intermediate RX. We did a whole entire breakdown on the last podcast on what those workouts were. Also not like crazy in detail about each individual workout, but also the structure behind the workout and things like that. So if you haven't done that already, make sure you guys do that. There will be a deadline. We'll probably put that out probably next week or so.
The deadline
to sign up, because we do, or because next week's the last week of April, and then March, and then we got the first week of April, which is on April 27th. And be on the lookout as well. We gotta affirm it officially, but as of right now, May 4th, hosting a workout at Great Harvest.
Oh, okay, cool.
In the back
there. You're talking about
have you ever been out there? Where on the, you know, they had like the.
I know they have like benches. Don't they have benches out there?
Outside, yeah. They have like a little gazebo kind
of
thing.
I've never ate back there, like brought my food back there or anything like that. But
it's a nice little area, and then it's got some steps going down to the grassy area right there by the bayou and stuff like that. So.
That's a cool little area.
Yeah, it's got a nice little landscape and whatnot. So we're going to host a workout there like we have before in the past, like at Crying Eagle. We'll put the official like day and time, but as of right now, it's looking at May 4th.
You swim in the canal?
You go swim the alligators down up in there. That's always a weird... Because like we'll go eat with like the kids like that, and they'll go out there and go play, and they'll kind of get close like there. I'm like, if a fucking alligator's popped up out of the bitch...
So like Heidi used to live there on that canal,
okay,
or on the bike, whatever you want to call it, and the whole time she lived there, I only saw one alligator.
Only saw one.
But I mean, it was like a little baby alligator, but there was an alligator, yeah.
Well, remember,
they're there.
Well, do you remember that story? You probably don't, but this is probably, I don't know, probably I want to say his name before COVID, so it's probably been about 5 years. They had that incident at Disney where that kid got
eaten by an alligator.
Oh
yeah, like full on eaten.
Yeah, like literally came up like the baby, like I think he was like 2 years old, was like right against the water at like a pond area at Disney. Fucking gator came right on out and took his ass.
I think there was a story like, I know this is kind of off top, but like 2 years ago, a guy was swimming at night in Louisiana in like a bayou pond. I don't know what the fuck it was, but sorry for the F-bomb. But he's swimming at night and never comes back home. Wife's like, where's my husband, you know? Sure shit got eaten by a goddamn alligator. Whole ass alligator ate him. But it's just, we don't hear about alligator, like, stuff like that happening, but it does happen.
Well, was it last year or the year before when they had the hurricane in New Orleans, like in the Slidell area? And that guy was...
Oh, I forgot about that too.
Went to his, like, a shed.
Yeah.
And there was a gator in a shed and freaking ate his ass.
Yeah. And I used to live in Big Lake and Grand Lake, and dude, we used to have alligators just like... end up in a front yard some days. It's like so cliche to think about because like everybody thinks that about Louisiana, but like in certain parts here, like that does happen. But no, it's, you don't see it often too as much anymore.
Well, the reason why you know those stories is because it's such a rarity.
Sure.
Right? It's like, you know, plane crashes. You know about plane crashes because they're so rare, right? You don't hear about, car accidents are a lot more common, so you don't hear about every car accident that happens.
Well, I think a lot of times you hear like dogs or like pets getting eaten, right?
And true.
But every once in a while, you will hear, see, like, a kid or something like that happen.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not in the water, man, and that's got that murky water.
I don't know how to say that. Water is not for me. Like, I don't know what's in there. I don't know what's in it. Especially ocean. I'm out. Sharks, and I'm done with all that.
You're in territory that's not for you.
Mm-mm. You're not made to be in the water.
So, like, if people are just sitting on the side of a boat with their feet just dangling into the water.
Can't do that either.
Dude, you can call me a bitch. I don't care. I'm just not doing it.
We'll go fishing. And, like, my brother will just, like, hang his feet in the water. He's like, oh, I'm hot. Put the feet. There's alligators all around, but he just puts his feet in the water and just chills. I'm like, that is a no for me, man. That is a... And big alligators.
I'll fry.
Like, no, sir. No chance.
Can't do it. What'd you think about the Open this year?
I thought it was exactly what he said it was going to be.
Very
super
straightforward,
basic. For your general member, I thought it was good workouts. I don't know if it was the best test overall for like top guys, but I think it was for everybody and considering everybody, I would say it's a pretty good open.
Yeah. Depending on what lens and what context you're speaking about the open, would obviously depend on the answer to that. Like kind of like what you resort to. If you're talking about the best overall test of fitness, it's really hard to do that over just three tests in general, especially when you're trying to make it very accessible to everybody, right? So the tests themselves, you're talking like just on a fitness standpoint, were they the best test to, like for instance, like that was determining who was the fittest in your gym? Mm-hmm. Probably not, obviously. But if you're talking to the lens and the context of, was it a good enough test for your general public, right? And it was very accessible and easy for affiliates to run, A+.
Now, I think it was the best ever open for affiliates.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Like logistically wise.
Logistically wise, yes. For an affiliate, this is the first time in open they haven't done some crazy shit.
Because so, even last year when they had that shuttle run burpee pull-up workout, even that is a...
That was a kind of a cluster.
Yeah, and luckily enough, our gym is big enough to where we were able to still
like run
games. Yeah, 10 to 15 people at a time. But, I mean, smaller gyms, to say it's more of a squared-up gym.
Sure.
Like, and maybe it's just not a humongous gym. Like
4 people at a time.
It could be a disaster. And so...
That was actually a fun workout.
Mm-hmm.
The shuttle run one. And I actually wanted to redo that one this year, but... like I said, I think it's good. I'll say that.
You sound indecisive.
Yeah, I think it was a good open. I think most people enjoyed the open. I actually got to see a lot of new people this year get to do the open, so that was kind of cool.
Next year we'll definitely have to do something more extravagant for the open than we did this year.
I think so. I think next year we could do something fun.
Yeah. I definitely want to make that as like a keynote for next year, is to make that a little bit more hyped up. And it's a lot easier.
Start hyping up in like December.
And it's a lot easier as well when it's only 3 weeks, not five, like it used to be. And so, and then like also in the competitive season, like you're still getting, the fact they made a top 25% move on to the quarterfinals, you're still going to get plenty enough people who should have qualified to move on to the next stage anyway. So, which we have probably a good, what, eight people who probably qualified.
People make it to quarters.
Yeah, I don't know who officially has qualified.
And if everybody, and the whole gym was signed up, I mean, I guarantee we'd add close to 15, probably, 20 people.
Yeah, probably close to 20 people.
But we talked about that yesterday. I don't know who's all going to do it, but I'm excited. I'm more excited to see quarterfinal workouts than the open workouts.
Because they're $50?
Yeah, $50 to do it. For at quarters? Least it was last year.
For quarters, I'm sure it's going to be roughly the same amount of price. And so I think for most people, they're going to be like, I'll do the workouts, so I'm not paying $50 to not advance any, because I'm not going to advance anymore.
Sure, forward. I know a couple of people paid it last year, but a lot of people just did the workouts, I think.
Yeah, and they may just went online and compared about where they'd be.
Right.
Which, if 1,000 people do that.
It's a lot easier to do math with quarterfinals in the open.
Yeah, but also if 1,000 people don't sign up, is it truly where you would have placed?
Sure,
you know?
Sure. What was Trevor for chiropractic, what was he?
Was he... Like ninth in the United States?
He's the ninth fittest chiropractor in North America.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to say that.
I wonder if Christian for doctors, I wonder if he did it.
I don't know. Because if you go on the Gaines website, you can narrow it down to... Now, it's not like every profession, obviously. But they have like firefighter, police officer, healthcare worker.
I thought that was a cool thing that they brought back.
Well, they had did a couple years ago, back in like 2017. Yeah. I thought it was a really cool thing. And I think... Be able to kind of narrow it down to, like, I think you even do your gym now.
I think so.
Where you can do, like, a leaderboard for your gym. You can go by state, obviously. I know they have an affiliate owner one.
Which really?
Year I'll try to be the fittest affiliate owner in Louisiana.
Affiliate owner. But I thought that was just a cool addition. That way, you could have something to work towards. Like, if you were a doctor, firefighter, cop, whatever it might be.
Sure.
But I don't know.
Yeah. But anyways, it was a good deal. I think... push it out there a little bit more next year and have a good time with it. And so I guess for today, because none of you assholes ever post any topics you guys want us to talk about.
Y'all have like 40 comments on a workout post. And we
exactly.
Have 4 comments on this shit.
Or that, if that at all. It's really just Hood and Heidi talking. And I guess tomorrow's workout's probably a good primary example of...
That's good to use.
As like a... So me and Kale were kind of deciding on maybe a topic to kind of jam on for today. And at some point in time, you know, everybody's probably gone through this where maybe you had expectations on how you would do in a workout, which coming off the open is a prime example of that. And maybe you didn't feel as good as maybe you wanted to feel during the workout, or maybe you get the score that you wanted, or maybe, you know, you had to scale the workout when you really want to scale the workout. You know, use any example that you want to. And then you leave the workout, you know, feeling, you know, defeated, sad, whatever emotion you want to kind of throw in there. And, you know, we want to kind of talk about ways to retool that. All right, spam phone call. But ways to retool that mindset and, like, what to do going forward after having a shitty workout that maybe you thought you were going to do really well on, maybe you didn't do so well on. And like even tomorrow's workout's a prime example of, I think EMOMs are even sometimes worse where...
I think EMOMs are the most defeating, for sure.
Yeah.
Can be the most defeating.
Yeah, because, and real quick, I guess it's like a side tangent here, like when it comes to like EMOMs, right? Where we kind of had a discussion yesterday before I left. You know, a lot of people, EMOMs are like kind of love-hate relationship a little bit with them, right? Because they kind of force you outside your comfort zone, and every single minute is kind of like a big deal, right? Where you're like, you're trying to fight against the clock every station, right? And you're kind of panicking, am I going to finish or I'm not going to finish? I'm getting exhausted, but also have to move fast. And the kind of, there's a lot of anxiety kind of builds up in the process as you're getting more tired. Compared to when you're doing an AMRAP or rounds for time,
sure.
As long as you're still moving, you're still making progress, right? Like you can just kind of slug your way through and kind of go at your own pace that is maybe comfortable for you. But when you go to an EMOM, that's not always the case. Where I think a lot of people where maybe let's say, for example, they maybe do purple a lot and they go to an EMOM and they try to do purple and they get smashed and they're like, I had to do blue or do orange, and they feel defeated because of that, right? Like they feel like they're lesser than now because they had to do a lower color workout, right? And tomorrow's workout's probably going to be an extreme example of that.
Tomorrow, you're going to see a lot of frowny faces.
A lot of people are going to put check marks. A lot of zeros are probably going to happen tomorrow. But like dealing with that emotion afterwards and how to like retool that. And I think the biggest, like I would like to, at least I would like to start it off this way, is I think even with myself sometimes you can have like these emotions just like that of maybe like failing a workout, so to speak, or not accomplishing maybe you set out for a particular workout. And then you can kind of like be upset with yourself for being upset.
Sure.
If that makes sense. And so I think it's okay to have like that 10 to 15 minutes post-workout where you're kind of like, I don't want to say necessarily like sulking or pouting, so to speak, but like, give yourself like 10, 15 minutes.
Cool down.
Like, cool down. Go for a walk or something like that and kind of like deal with that for a second and be okay with like those emotions kind of coming on. Because I know if like for me, you can kind of like immediately start beating yourself up for feeling that way as well. But at the same time, you can't dwell on it either, right? So it's like a little happy medium, like give yourself like that 10 to 15 minutes of accepting of kind of that emotion that's happening for a second and kind of like, why are you such a bitch, so to speak?
Well, you don't want to be that one person in the class that just bitches about how bad, terrible, right? Like, that's the worst thing.
Well, nobody wants to hear it.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody wants to hear that shit.
Nobody wants to hear of how much you suck and like, oh, I'm just a piece of shit.
When in reality, like, you're talking to somebody that maybe did like orange that day and you're over here doing black, right?
Exactly. Right. Nobody wants to hear that. Like, nobody's going to feel sorry for you.
Sure.
Right? Like, you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're trying to make other people feel sorry for you in the process. And so, like, taking that moment to yourself, go off in your corner, wherever you may be, and like, you know, and take that time for a second, but then after, you know, 5-10 minutes, like taking that process of like kind of coming back to square one, you're like, dude, it's like one freaking workout.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not that big of a deal. And put things in the context that you probably didn't start the process out in general, even wanting to quote unquote get better at workouts,
sure.
Right? You're like, you're just coming in to get healthy and feel better and look better, right? And putting that into context and like, and at the end of the day, is all right, was that the best I could give this particular day, right? Like,
that's a good first question.
And I think for some, like, obviously the answer might be yes. For some, it might be no. If you know, and I think sometimes that's even harder to accept, is like, maybe you just weren't in a good proper mindset for that day. And so going into the workout, you kind of more like mentally defeated than you were physically defeated. It's one thing you go in there, you're like mentally, you're there, you're sharp, you're like, I just don't have the tools to do
it. I think not being there mentally some days is worse than probably not being there physically, right?
Yeah, because I mean, if you mentally have the clarity and the drive.
Sometimes you feel like shit, like your body feels like shit, but if you have the mindset of like, oh, I'm feeling okay, like I feel like you can kind of work through some of those things, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you have like the mental drive to actually push yourself, but maybe you just don't have the physical capabilities of maybe accomplishing, maybe you thought you maybe could have, I think sometimes people are more okay with that, right? Compared to the other side of that, of, you know, mentally you're more handicapped than you were physically handicapped today. And I think that's just kind of part of it, to be honest. You know, you guys have a lot going on outside of these gym walls, right? Like, you working out is not, you're not doing that for a living. You're not doing this 24/7, 365. Like, you have work, you have family, you have a lot of the priorities and a lot of stressors outside of this gym that are going to wear on you. And that is going to affect you more so at times in your workouts, right? Like, if you have a new baby at home and that brings on a whole new stressors, well, you can probably expect that your gym performance isn't going to be as consistent as maybe you would like it to be, right? Or maybe you're working a turnaround at the plants, and obviously that's going to affect your performance at the gym. Maybe you got a new role at work, and you're dealing with more people now, and because you're dealing with more people, you're having to deal with more emotions of people, and it's stressing you out. X, Y, and Z examples.
List goes on.
Right, list goes on. Choose whatever example you're going to do. And that takes away from your mental bandwidth, right? Like, there's only so many, quote-unquote, fucks you can give in a day,
sure,
right? And once you've run out of those fucks, like, it's really hard.
It's hard to keep finding them.
Keep finding, especially like a longest day. Like, talking like Jacob Gillery, right, for instance, when he's been up since 4 a.m, he's worked all day, and he's drove 1.5 hours to work, 1.5 hours back. Like, his drive sometimes to gym is not nearly as high compared to a day or two where he's had like good sleep and he's had off and he gets to work at like 8 or 9 a.m. His mental drive is a lot higher, right? And so you have to take all these things into context. It doesn't necessarily mean that you, quote unquote, give yourself excuses per se, but it's also dealing with the reality of what's going on in life, right? And so I think when you're in that moment of in a workout and, you know, just kind of mentally, you're not just not as mentally sharp as maybe you have been before, right? Like, I think everybody knows they get into in the middle of a workout and you kind of hit that wall sooner than maybe you thought you would have. And mentally you're just like, I'm just not there to like go this crazy hard today. I think having that moment in time to like have that conversation with yourself and saying like, it's okay. Like, it's okay if I'm not maybe holding as big a sets that maybe I like doing these wall balls, or maybe my rower pace is not as fast as I would like it to be, and not getting overwhelmed by that and like reacting on that thought, right? And kind of taking that and looking at it through a different lens of like focusing just on your breath and just staying moving and not quitting the workout, and then kind of turn your mind off to the clock.
Like, kind of start rolling with the punches.
Yeah, just right? I'm just kind of accepting whatever happens today. It's like, is this what my body's going to give me? Is what's going to give me today? And I think that's really powerful, that if you can start to, just because the way you think is not the way you have to react per se, can go a really long ways. And I know there's times that we all fail at that, right? Like, I think sometimes it's really easy to say that, but, and it comes with practice, and just sometimes accepting like, hey, sometimes you're just going to feel like shit, and those times come here or there, and you can't get completely overwhelmed that you suck, or, you know, you're performing as well as you two, and, you know, and you might have like a string of workouts like that. You might have a couple weeks of workouts like that.
Maybe 2 weeks like that.
Right. And I understand it can be frustrating at times, but you gotta, well, I always kind of tell people like, okay, if they have that emotional response, like, and even some people have that, knee jerk reaction to say like, they almost like want to quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what else are you going to do?
What right? is that like, going to do for you?
Like, quitting has, when is that ever going to be like something that's going to be advantageous for you? just like when it comes like dieting, right? Or people are trying to take care of their nutrition and maybe they get frustrated with the results they're seeing. Maybe they're not seeing results as fast as they would like to. That, you know, and they kind of have this like, oh, you know, I don't know if it's really worth doing all this. I'm like, okay, what's your other option, right? If you,
what are you gonna do?
If you decide you're just not gonna take your nutrition anymore, well, you know probably what the result that's gonna be, mm-hmm. right? You're probably gonna start to resort back to old habits and eating habits, and you're probably gonna gain the weight that you've already lost, the body fat you already lost, compared to just making adjustments, right? And seeing how that plans out again, right? It may or may not work. Nothing's guaranteed. Just because you work consistently at something doesn't mean you're guaranteed a result at the end of the day, right? But you know not doing anything consistently will definitely produce the result of not getting the result that you want. That's ultimately at the end of the day. And that's the hard part of all this is that I think for a lot of people, it's not always the physical challenge of these things. It's the mental challenge of all these things. Because if that was the case, then everybody would have the body and the dreams that they want and they perform exactly how they would want, right? And it's the person that can just continue on that path of like being consistent regardless of the bumps that happen or the shitty days that they have. They just kind of keep going down that path regardless compared to the guys that, you know, they hit a couple bumps here or there and they kind of say, fuck it, and throw their hands up in the air and just say it's not worth it, right? I think it's the natural tendency of everybody for the most part to when things get challenging or get uncomfortable, just to kind of like, you know, turn around and pack it up and go home.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I think everybody has those thoughts.
I was about to say, like, you're probably not the only person in that class that wants to quit the workout. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's probably a handful of other people in that class at that same point in time that you're at thinking about quitting the workout that want to quit, but they don't quit, you mm-hmm. know? Do you find that more people quit in the mornings or the afternoons?
I would say afternoons.
And do you think it's because like starting your day off like that is just kind of like a day ruiner almost? Because I feel like if I were to come in the morning, like, and if you were to do like a class workout, I feel like if you were to quit a workout or like just get smashed, like, I don't know that it would be a good start to the day, you know? So I feel like that's why you don't see it as often.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a way to...
Because at the end of the day, like, you quit a workout and just be like, all right, I'm going home, go to sleep, like, start the new day, you know?
I don't want to put it in the context, like, and, like, talk shit on the afternoon people, right? Because...
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, that's like...
But what I'm saying, what I'm trying to getting at is, you know, it's freaking mentally tough to get up at 4 in the morning.
Sure.
5 days a week and go work out, right? So, like, you're already pretty invested at that point in time, if you're working up that consistently or work out that early in the morning, right? So I don't necessarily want to say like the morning people are like more mentally tough than people who come work out in the afternoon, sure. right? Because I think some people use that as like a badge of honor, like I get up at 4 a.m. every single morning to go work out.
Say the same thing about like, hey, I just worked all day and day and then I'm showing up at the end of the day, I'm more committed.
Exactly.
Like, you can go both ways.
Right, you use that both sides of the story. I think it's just because you have that mental reset at the start of each day that even though you are tired in the morning, right, when you come here and work out at 4:45 or 5:45, I think because it's like your first thing you do in the morning, and it's like your first hard thing to do for the day, right? Compared to, you know, let's say you wake up at 6 in the morning, and then you're dealing with kids, bringing them to school, and the chaos of that. You go to work, and you're putting out fires all day, right? You're dealing, especially if you... Let's say you're maybe a nurse and you deal with shitty patients all day, right? And you have to deal with shitty people, that those things are hard. And then you have to go to work out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and that workout's hard, right? So it's another hurdle now to get over again, right? And once again, kind of going to that mental bandwidth thing of like, you've already kind of used up all your fucks in the day, and you know, you just don't have any more to give, and you can't quite push through that wall like you would otherwise, right? Because you just don't have any more mental bandwidth to go any more extreme on that. And I think it's one of those things where I'm trying to put this in proper context is, I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit before in previous podcasts, where I think right now through like social media, there's a fine line between listening to the people that are always like, you deserve a break and you're sure. so wonderful and your body needs rest and, you know, you should never stress about anything and kumbaya. And I think that's a bunch of load of shit.
Yeah.
And I think also you got people that are kind of like David Goggins-esque sure. people that are like, you know, you got to fucking be hard. You got to only work on 3 hours of sleep a day and you got to work 80 yeah. hours in a day. And you know, it's finding the balance between the two of if you, let's say you go in every single day and you probably every single day could probably give yourself an excuse as to like why you're tired or why you don't feel like doing this or why you should slow down in the middle of a workout, right? There's infinite reasons why you could probably use that on a daily example. And if you always falter to those thoughts, then you're never going to make progress, sure. right? Because ultimately how you make progress is by getting uncomfortable. And, you know, it's okay from time to time that everybody's going to falter to those thoughts, right? It's stringing together longer distances between those, I think, is probably the word I'm trying to get at, right? Like, let's say you...
limit those days?
Yeah. Let's say, for instance, like, more often than not, you kind of falter that. Like, let's say you can work out 5 days a week or 4 days a week. And let's say two of those four every single week, you kind of like, screw it, I don't care. Like, I'm just going to kind of shit a bit on this workout or whatever it may be. And you kind of let those intrinsic thoughts of like, well, you've worked all day and you've had a really stressful day. And so you kind of let those thoughts overtake you and you kind of back off because of it. Well, if you can go the next week and like instead of going... let it happen twice a week, maybe only let it happen once, right? And then you go a week without it happening at all. Then you go 2 weeks without it happening at all. And you go 3 weeks without it happening at all. It doesn't mean that episodes happen from time to time, but maybe the distance between those episodes of you faltering to those thoughts start to distance themselves from one another, right? And I think that's how you end up building more and more mental resiliency over time. I think sometimes people look at somebody who they would maybe consider mentally resilient or like mentally tough. They're like, well, you know, I just don't have it like you do, right? And I think maybe some people, to a degree, just like with anything like genetically, right, are maybe more prone to be more mentally tough than others compared sure. to their upbringing and lifestyle. But I think the thoughts, you think like they don't have the thoughts that you have. And I think that's wrong. I think they have the exact same thoughts that you have. They know how to deal with those. Channel and use them differently in... it doesn't mean they don't falter every so often, right? They just don't falter nearly as much as you do.
Or they do, and they deal with it in their own way.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, they know how to cope with that a little sure. bit better and not to let those thoughts overtake their actions.
I was gonna say, I feel like just like trying to get more fit or whatever, you're trying to dial in. I feel like mindset is definitely something you have to practice.
Oh, for sure.
Like it's just like a muscle. Like if you don't practice the mindset and trying to have a strong mindset, you're never going to have a strong yeah. mindset.
Well, like, I was even telling you the other day, like, that Colton Mertens guy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good example.
So, I was talking about this the other day with Kale. So, you don't know who Colton Mertens is. He's the guy. He won the very first open workout. He did a workout in, like, what, 5:19, right? Just stupid
that was a
fast.
Snatch workout.
Yeah, stupid fast workout. Like, everybody in our gym was probably, like, I think Brandy had the fastest time in our gym. She was 7.5 minutes, right? So, he beat her by 2 minutes and change, think right? That's how fast, like, how much faster he was than Brandy, right? And like the average quarter game was probably around like 10 to 12 minutes, yeah. right? So literally double fast than anybody else here. And he was getting interviewed on a podcast about the workout. You know, the guy kind of asked him, you know, how he was feeling during the workout. And he's like, I'm not going to lie. You know, once I started the round of 15, I thought I almost quit. Like I almost put my dumbbell down and walked out the gym. Like I mentally almost quit the workout. And he's like, really? Like, I'm really kind of surprised to hear that response. And he's like, does that happen often? And he's like, it happens way more often than you think it would, right? When you're getting uncomfortable and you're trying to push yourself, the natural tendency for anybody is to have the thoughts of like, back the fuck down and get out of there, right? It's human nature of when things get uncomfortable, your body naturally wants to resort back to like being comfortable again, right? I think that's anybody. And I think as people, we can have those thoughts and then we react to those thoughts and we, you know, go back to a comfortable state and back off, right? And then when we do that, then we beat ourselves up for doing that, right? And I think those thoughts are completely natural. Even a guy that's the most elite level at CrossFit, right, has the same thoughts as you. He's not an alien, right? Like, he's not different than you are.
These people aren't these superheroes.
Yeah. Like, they deal with the same exact thought processes you have. Right? They have a little bit more motivation, right? Because now they're training for sport and they have, like, this primary reason. So they're maybe willing to dig a little bit deeper into, like, that pain game than you would be. But at the end of the day, they're still having these thought processes that you have. And so I think all that's completely natural. And once again, it's how we react on that. And, like, sometimes you have that mental sharpness to deal with that better than other times, right? But it's not uncommon that that happens. And so I don't know if we beat a dead horse there.
Well, I just think it's kind of like you said earlier, it's just like it's a mindset thing. It's something that, like, if you continue to practice, like, and beat yourself up and tell yourself that you're a piece of shit after every workout that you don't do well in, like, all that's doing is just making you fall deeper down that hole, right?
Well, like, I've had periods of time of...
You're trying to dig a hole in rain, dude. Like,
yeah, I've had periods of time of you know, me training where, you know, I had, like, this, especially, like, in 2016 area, I was having, like, this, like, almost, like, training desire kind of, like, really, like, gone down, and, like, in the process of that, like, you're still trying to work out, and then you don't feel like you're performing very well in workouts, you're not feeling very good in workouts, you kind of beat yourself up for not doing well in workouts. And, like, one thing that really helped me out was I quit focusing in on so much of, like, what the number that you're going to get, or just, like, the score you're going to get, and just focus on, like, what kind of...
effort for that day, time of day thing?
Well, yeah, kind of like effort, but also, like, what inner dialogue is going on in your head, right? Like, because you can't help, like, the first thing that pops into your head, right? Sure. Like, I think everybody has that moment of, like, oh, my God, this sucks, right? Like, or, like, I'm in so much pain. And then, like, working on, as soon as that pops into your head, like, okay, how to cope with that and, like, redirect the message to your body, like how to respond to that, and taking that time to say, like, yeah, like, I understand, like, this hurts, like, right now, but, and we don't necessarily need to push harder, like, through this right now. We just need to stay moving, yeah, and, like, not, and, like, just stay where we are. Like, you, like, might back down, like, 5-10%, but, like, don't stop where you are. Just kind of keep moving through that, right? Regardless of, yeah, you might not get the score that you want today. That's okay. Just keep moving. And almost dealing with the, like, getting comfortable with the chaos in your head. Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a book.
Deal with the chaos in your head.
It's got to be a book.
Yeah. Because even a little bit here lately, I've been kind of listening a little bit, like, Jocko stuff a little bit. And, I don't know, like, it kind of works with the analogy a little bit. Like, think of it like when these guys are, like, trying to become Navy SEALs, right? They're constantly put through training that's, like, chaotic, mm-hmm, right? Because that's how the battlefield's going to be. They go on the war, like, shit's going to happen that you maybe didn't expect to happen, and how are you going to respond to that? And then, you know, you can always tell those people, like, in real life, like, if, let's say, you know, a bomb explodes in a car, like, everybody would be freaking the fuck out, and these guys would probably be a lot more chill on how to deal with that, right? Like, because they've trained themselves to deal with chaos, compared to a normal civilian, obviously, has not been trained to deal with that. And it's the same process, like, with the chaos in your head of, you're going to have to train yourself on how to deal with that negative self-talk and maybe lackluster performance and how to deal with that. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. And so instead of, like, dwelling on the negative thoughts all the time, start focusing on how to react to those negative responses. That helps out a ton.
I think that's your biggest takeaway.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's probably the best way to kind of put it. We took a long ways to get there, but...
So, I mean, we kind of beat around that, but, I mean, that's, like, your main point is, like, trying to fight the demons in a good way, right?
Yeah, I think
you keep everybody has yourself way. Negative thoughts in the middle of a workout, it's all you're doing is making yourself worse. Yeah. You're just making it worse.
Yeah, and so, and a lot of times you end up performing a lot better than maybe you would think.
And sometimes when you start out, like, actually sending positive thoughts into that head during the middle of a shitty workout, sometimes that actually does work, and sometimes you actually might end up feeling like shit halfway through the workout, but by the end of the workout, you're like, oh, this was, like, a really good workout.
Well, like, sometimes you end up performing better than what you thought you would have. Like, let's say you get about halfway through the workout and you kind of feel like, oh, I'm not doing very well, or I'm tired, or whatever it be. And you keep trucking through it, like, you get done, like, oh, shit, I actually did a lot better than I thought I was going to do. And so... And sometimes it doesn't, but it is kind of is what it is. And for some of you guys are like, dude, I don't know what the fuck these guys are talking about. I never have any of those issues.
They're like, oh, I'm positive Nancy every single day. Shut the hell up.
But, which I've experienced plenty of times, but obviously I don't coach on the floor as nearly as much as Kel does anymore, like as much as Kel does now. Because, I mean, Kel probably at least once a month has to be a therapist to somebody.
I would say it's more than once a month.
Well, they get done with the workout and, you know, obviously, especially with the females, you know,
they're... say it's every other day.
somebody's in tears because they didn't do what they wanted to do, and you got to talk them off the ledge. So, it's natural that people go through that. It's just, you know, it's dealing with that a little bit better over time. Sure. Which, and I've had plenty of my episodes before in the past of, you know, getting pissed off after a workout or whatever it may be. And I'm definitely not perfect.
I'm not saying you're going to be 100% on this journey. Like this is not something that you're going to be all positive Nancy every single day, but if you can limit the bad days, that's kind of the point of this, right? Is you're limiting the bad days to eventually, hopefully getting to a point to where you can fight those demons on a regular basis. Right.
Yeah.
It's a process.
So hopefully you guys got maybe a little bit of something out of this. We kind of came up this last second, but we thought it was a good podcast. I don't know if we've ever completely...
I don't know if we jammed on that.
...joined this before or something. Kind of popped in my head yesterday. So hopefully you guys...
listened to the whole thing. I think you definitely got something out of it,
though. Yeah. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Real quickly.
Oh, boy.
Kale, what is going to be the final score of the McNeese game tonight?
Ooh, I think McNeese loses by 9.
Oh, man.
I think
what a Debbie Downer.
I know. I'm sorry.
What a Debbie
Downer. I think it would be close.
He's picking with his brain, not his heart.
I think of a brain. I will say that's something I'm pretty freaking good at, not following the heart.
Right, I know, like that's, and I'm really upset that Kale's not saying that McNeese's gonna win because Kale's pretty good. The year before he made the 17 game parlay.
That was last year.
Kale made a 17 game parlay in the first round of the March Madness and hit all 17.
Already up like $400 just from yesterday.
Did you bet on the Grambling game?
That and the NIT.
Okay, because I saw Grambling came back by 14 points in overtime.
I think be close. I think a lot of people think that, at least the people that I've talked to locally, like they think Magnus is going to get blown out. Like they don't think it's even going to be a game. And I'm like, I think it's going to be a closer game than people think. But I think it comes down to like free throws, fouls, experience.
Which
like,
Magnus is a horrible
Magnus
job
is terrible
at.
Fouling. Magnus is terrible at free throws. Now I could be it. I'm not going to sit here and say McNeese doesn't have a chance to win the game. Mm-hmm. Like, McNeese has a chance to win this game. But I do not think... I think that is where we're going to lose the game.
Well, hopefully...
Hopefully I'm wrong.
Kel's wrong. But
we'll I would like to be wrong. I'll say that. I would like to be wrong.
Yeah. That's a win-win situation for you. And you put money down on this game, didn't you?
Yeah, I have one on it.
Okay.
I didn't... Like I said, I try not to do that.
With it's a win-win situation for you. Yeah. McNeese wins is cool. If they lose, it's also cool.
It's also cool for me, right?
So, all right, guys. I'll talk to you guys next time.